Loving Father, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort and consolation, we bless thee for the joy of coming into thy holy presence again, to sit and listen to your word, Lord God Almighty, and to be able to draw nearer to thee, for nearer we cannot be. For in the person of his Son, we are just as near as he. As we take a look at the priesthood today, Lord God, may we continue to function as you keep us breathing the breath of life, that we will keep on serving. And Lord, there might be a fitting word to someone today, not only here, but elsewhere. We just give you thanks again for such a joy of enabling us to come and spend some time with thee. As we sit, feed and feast at Jesus' feet. To God be the glory, great things thou hast done. We give thee thanks in his matchless and peerless name. Amen. It's nice to be with you this year. We could not come last year because Irma and Marilyn caused lots of destruction in the Virgin Islands. And just as when we were ready to leave, the same week, we could not leave again. We are trying to recover. And we are thankful for your prayers. You have not yet recovered, but we are still trusting the Lord that we will reach there. Ruth and I brings greetings from the saints there in the Virgin Islands, St. Thomas and St. Croix. This year, March, Ruth and I made 50 years of marriage. This year, March. Last week, Tuesday, I made 79 years of age. I was telling my wife, I have grown old in the faith. Thanks for your prayers and encouragement. Now we want to look at the book of Hebrews. Not only today, Wednesday night, next Sunday again, and the next Wednesday night. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 7, the interceding priest. Hebrews chapter 7. And let's see what the Spirit of God can give to us. Book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Melchizedek, the priest. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means King of Righteousness. Then also, King of Salem means King of Peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. We would stay right here with the reading, and we see the interceding priest who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we find that the priesthood of Melchizedek is a fact to be recognized, more than a figure to be interpreted. We notice the Son of God in his humanity. And in his humanity, he's better than Moses and Joshua in the household of God. And now better than Aaron before the throne of God. Here we reach the summit in priesthood. The Lord is the forerunner who entered within the veil to dwell there as an abiding intercessor. The priesthood of Melchizedek finds its continuance and consummation in Christ. The book of Hebrews is exceptionally rich with the priesthood. As a priest, we see his sufficiency in chapter 2, verse 16 and 18. His suitability in chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. His sympathy in chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. His superiority in chapter 7. His fear in chapter 8, 1 to 6. And his sacrifice in chapters 9 and 10. May we avail ourselves of the eternal ministry of our great high priest day by day. This chapter is concerned only with the person of the priest and not his work. Because no priestly work is associated when Abraham met Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14. Of course, we get a background idea in Genesis chapter 14 when there were two sets of kings. We had four kings from the line of Shem, and then we had five kings from the line of Ham. Chedorlaomer, he was a bully. He was like a dictator and ruled the other kings with an iron fist. And they decided to rebel against him. And he decided to make war against these five kings that came from the line of Ham. and he captured them and took all the spoils, the wives, the children, and even Abraham's nephew, Lot. I don't know what he was doing there, because as a believer, he should not have been there. Of course, we've got to be careful with our surroundings and where we go. And one of them got away and came and told Abraham, who had trained 318 men in his household. Abraham was not a man of war. Abraham was a simple man of God, quite a humble man of God. And Abraham went after King Chedorlaomer, and God gave him a great victory from the war. He brought back Lot, all the spoils, the wives, the children, and everyone. As Christians, we are in a battle. We have come to worship this morning. We can leave from here and go on the warship to fight. We must first be in touch with our God. And then we can go out and we can battle as believer priests. We are a holy priesthood to show forth the sacrifices of him, which is spiritual. We go in and we stay near to him, and then we come out as a royal priesthood to show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are children of light. And because we are children of light, we have got to shine forth in a very bright and brilliant manner as believer priests. We function. We have got to be clean and pure. They that bear the vessels of the Lord must be clean, so that God can use us in a mighty way. Of course, not all the family of the Levites had functioned in that particular area, because you had to be clean. You had to be pure to serve in that capacity. But they were according to the law. We are different. We are priests through the grace of our God and what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I. Well, when Abraham and his men were coming back from the battle, they met Melchizedek, who was a priest of the Most High God. And he refreshed them with bread and wine. Bread for sustenance, wine for joy. These emblems which we have before us, the bread which speaks of the communion of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the cup of blessing which we bless to the communion of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We partake because we are saved people. And He commands us to do this as believer priests. This is not a choice. May I repeat that? This is not a choice. This is a command. This do in remembrance of me. So we can't say, I don't feel like going to break bread today. We can't say that unless duty bounds or we are sick. We cannot say, I don't feel like coming to break bread. This is a command. It's not an option. And it is the most beautiful thing that you and I can ever do. And that is to come in and spend time with our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the rest of the meetings takes its pattern off of this. So we have been with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are hyper conquerors. And we can champion the cause of Christ when we leave here. Fully armored, ready to battle, because we are in a battle, a lifelong battle, as believer priests, until death comes. And so, who is this Melchizedek? There are all kinds of assumptions. Some say he's Enoch. Some say he's Job. Some say he's the Son of God. Oregon say he's an angel. Some say he's the Holy Spirit. Some say he's the Messiah. But what the Bible tells us, which is the most important thing, and that is, he was like the Son of God. He was like, or the Greek puts it, likened to the Son of God. He was not Jesus Christ. The scripture didn't tell me that. He was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. A type. That is what I know. That is what I see. I don't see anything else. He was a man. The scripture tells you he was a man. This man, in verse 6, however, did not trace his descent from Levi. Yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. Oh, it is good to bless one another instead of cursing one another. When we bless one another, we are committing and commending one another to the Lord for prosperity and prudence and power and persuasiveness in your Christian life. We are committing and commending one another. It's the most beautiful thing ever that we can do. That we blessed one another and blessed one another's children before God Almighty. Bless the saints, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. It's wonderful that here the greater is blessing the lesser, when it should be the other way around. But Melchizedek honored Abraham. Abraham was an honored man of God. He was the friend of God. And then Melchizedek blessed Abraham, Most High God. And we are people taking the name of God in vain. They will not be guiltless. But he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a theophanic manifestation of the Son of God, but a type of Jesus Christ. This man, he had a family. God didn't give us much details concerning Melchizedek, if you noticed. But he was a man. So he had to have a father and a mother. This is how God is sometimes, my beloved. That there are things that God keeps for himself that we ought not to know. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us the secret things belongs unto God, but those things revealed belongs to us. There are times when God doesn't want us to know. We're not supposed to know. He keeps it for himself until we get to glory. And he refused to tell us. But there's a lot of rich things found in this particular chapter. We notice, my beloved, that Christ as our priest continues and everlastingly cares. But Melchizedek, as the political and spiritual leader of his people. Now this will be true only when Christ reigns in righteousness and will unite kingship and priesthood in himself. Zechariah 6:13, Isaiah 32, verse 1 and 17, deals with this particular area of thought. When in the millennial kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is now on his Father's throne in heaven, he has finished the work, and he is the only priest that God ever said, sit down until Operation Footstool is completed. Angelic conflict is suspended. Satan himself is apprehended. And the kingdom of God, you and I, shall be inaugurated. For we are in the kingdom of God, the church. Blessed be God. And then he would sit on David's, his father's throne in the millennium. The word of God tells us here, his name means King of Righteousness. King of Salem means peace. So the Spirit of God is giving us a glimpse of the millennium period. And that is going to be a wonderful period, a wonderful time. He shall rule with a rod of iron. and shall bring judgment upon anyone who disturbed God's righteousness and justice and peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to die for the sins of every human being. There are those who are preaching a limited salvation. They're wrong. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches an unlimited salvation. Jesus tasted death for every man. Every single man. Christ tasted death. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not slack concerning his promise. Thank God for his sovereignty, the sovereign grace of our God and mercy towards humankind. Praise God that there is God above who loves people. And when Jesus Christ came to earth, wherever he found people, they became preeminent and primary in his thoughts. He would draw near to people because he realized that a perfect environment or society does not draw people to himself. It is the Holy Spirit that draws people to God Almighty in every dispensation and even until now. And if we have been speaking to anyone sitting in here this morning and you're not saved, would to God that you would be persuaded to turn to Jesus Christ, because the day will come. If you don't do it now, you would have blown it. Because God is a God of grace and a God of mercy. And God's grace is his goodness and greatness. And only God can show mercy. And thank God, he's still showing mercy even until now. Because as a great high priest, he's up there interceding on the behalf of all. And he has finished that work. But he's still saving sinners. And God has given us this glorious and gracious opportunity to hear the word of God again, to hear the gospel, and to turn to Jesus Christ. If we have backslidden, no genuine born again believer can apostatize, but he can backslide. You can't stay out there that long. The Holy Spirit will speak to your hearts. Apostasy is when one turns away from the grace of our God in favor of licentious and lascivious living. The genuine born-again believer does not apostatize, but backslides. And when the person backslides, he enters into the deeper of what grace God can do for you to bring you back. You have dropped out of the bottom circle, but you're still in the top circle of relationship. You dropped out of the bottom circle of fellowship, but you don't lose your relationship. But only God knows whether you're genuine or not. Lot found himself in a black sin state. And you see what happened to him. And God's sent his servant Abraham to pluck him as a brand from the burning. That is the duty of the believer priests. You don't see a brother or a sister for some time, you go and look them up. You check them out. By that you're washing their feet. You want them to return. You want them to come back. You're longing to see them. You love them. Abraham immediately went after the king. And God gave him the victory. God will give you and I the victory likewise. That's why Jesus is there. Up there. He's the only priest that God ever said, sit down. The Levitical priesthood, they changed many priests all the time. It was imperfect. The animal sacrifices could not free us. But blessed be God, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. His one sacrifice for sins and forever justified us, sanctified us, glorified us. And so we find right here the dignity of his priesthood. There's so much to say. But as usual, I like to give the Lord's people a little peace for them to meditate upon. Chew your cud. Now, if we have anybody in here this morning, if the Spirit of God has challenged you this morning, don't be afraid to let us know. Don't be afraid to tell us. If as a child of God you're having problems, let us know. We have the open Bible. There are those of us who are saved in here for donkey years. I'm saved for 60 years. We must be able to show you from the Word of God and stabilize you, keep you sturdy, keep you strong. Abraham was a strong man of God. He was a friend of God. We are friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us the secrets. This is just a brief thought. And one day, oh brothers and sisters, one day, Jesus is coming back for us. He's going to reward us handsomely. Oh, I'm telling you, take your priesthood seriously. Don't fool around with your priesthood. Because listen, your entire being, your tripartite being, spirit, soul, and body belongs to him. And he wants to know that you are active and that you're reaching people for God. May these few thoughts, therefore, stimulate your hearts and stir you into the deeper depths of your priesthood. Don't forget, let us know if you need help. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful again for opening up our eyes concerning the priesthood. You have given us so much from the Word of God. Cause us to reach to that height of spirituality, my Lord and my God. and to reach maturity in serving thee. For his name's sake, amen. Let's sing. His Lord, his Lord, he has risen from the dead and is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Again, his Lord, his Lord, he has risen from the dead and is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you. Maranatha, he cometh.